We are on Bava Metzia, Daf Lamed Gimel, and we got all the way to the Mishnah, believe it or not. Not an April Fool's joke. Mishnah on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, 33a. The Mishnah says, Avedaso v'Avedas Aviv. This is a sort of a new topic, even though we're talking about Shavas Aveda, but we talked about Kibud Av V'Eim, and it comes in conflict with, when it comes to the conflict doing the Shavas Aveda before. But here, what we're talking about is you have basically a choice. You have a choice of whose lost item to take precedence over. Aveda so, avedas aviv. Aveda so, kodemus. You get to claim your own lost item first. And then you get your father's. Aveda so, avedas rabo. Shalokodem. Also, the same thing when it comes to a Rebbe's lost item. Avedas av avedas rabba. What about if it's the father versus the Rebbe? Shel rabbo kodemus. The Rebbe comes first. As I think we've used this line in other contexts also. She'aviv heviyu l'chai l'olam hazeh. V'rabbo shalim l'chachma meviyu l'chai ha'olam haba. V'im aviv chacham. So the reason being that the father brought you to this world, the Rebbe is going to bring you to the next world. And the working assumption that the next world is of greater prominence. I would say that the Hevil Olam Hazeh aspect of your father is kind of already finished. He brought you to this world. So it's really in terms of Hakaras HaTov. Whereas the Rebbe, there's still more, I mean, in a practical sense, pragmatically, the Rebbe is still presumably is able to still teach you, which is there's a future pragmatism there. That taking his lost item first is going to help that relationship. But I don't know. Vim ha'chacham, vim aviv chacham, if your father was also a chacham, meaning you could learn from him too, shel aviv kodemes. So then the father comes first. Hay aviv v'rabo nosin masoi, if they were both carrying an item, which we haven't yet seen, that you'd be obligated to sort of help the human being who's carrying an item. We've only ever seen the animal. So minyachas shel rabo, v'yakrach minyachas shel aviv. First you take down your Rebbe, then take down your father's, which is just in line with what we said before. I'm sure the Gemara is going to talk about that. V'aviv v'rabo v'es ha'shevi, if they're both being held hostage of some kind, taken for ransom, so then pode es rabo, v'yakrach pode es aviv. Assuming that the price is reasonable, so then you redeem your Rebbe, and then you redeem your father. The reason why I say it's reasonable is a famous case of the Maharam Ruttenberg, that the Rush wanted to ransom the Maharam out of prison, and the Maharam wouldn't let him because the ransom was too high, and the Maharam Ruttenberg died in prison because of that. And then he ultimately his body was held ransom for another 7 years until they were able to get him out. Either way, so then, Ivim Aviv Chacham, if the father ever was a Chacham, so then, Podes Aviv Yachach Podes Rabba. So basically, we repeated the same general halacha three times. The Rebbe comes first, unless the father is also a Chacham. We said it by Hashem HaZaveda, we said it by Prika, and we said it by being Poda, Bidyon Shvuyim. Says the Gemara Menon Emili, how do I know? What's the halacha? What's the source that you get to get your own lost item before your father's? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Amar Kra Efes Kilo Yevuche Avion Shelcha Kodem Shel Koladam V'Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Kol Mekayim Ba'atzmo Kach Sof Bali De Kach. Okay. Anyone who the pasuk says Efes Kilo Yevuche Avion Lo Yevuche Avion, meaning that you shouldn't have an Avion first and foremost. Meaning you shouldn't be poor. You should take care of yourself first. And Rabbi Yehuda says from Rav that anyone who's scrupulous to make sure that he's not poor, which would thereby drain the resources of others, that's what I have here. I'm trying to see if that's from Rashi. If you are going to be careful about your own resources, you will make sure that other people don't have to help you. Hold on. Oh, hold on. This is disagreeing. It's saying if you're only ever worried about yourself, ultimately you're going to become someone that other people have to prop up. I think that's what it means. Okay. Hey, Avad Rabba Nosin Masoi. So Tanur Rabbanan, interesting, we skipped the Aveda one. I guess we did it yesterday. Tanur Rabbanan Rabba, well, not exactly, but Tanur Rabbanan Rabba Sha'amru Rabba Shalim Do Chachma, Velo Rabba Shalim Do Mikra. When we say that the Rebbe, you have to unload the Rebbe first, that's referring to a Rebbe who has taught him his wisdom, meaning halacha.
Gemara.
I mean, it can't be literal Gemara because we're learning the Gemara, but
I mean, it says
more in-depth analysis, yes.
It says denotes the principles that underlie the precepts of Mishnah and Halacha.
Right. Giving the background to understanding Halacha. Velo Rav Shlomo Dov, not just someone who teaches you Psukim or Mishnah, the basic Halacha. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's going to be Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Kosher Rov Chachma Sohimenu. Anyone from whom you get most of your Chachma. A hard calculation to make, but Rabbi Yossi Omar Afilu Lo Heir Einav El B'Mishnah Achas Zehu Ravo. Anyone's a Rebbe, according to Rabbi Yossi. Anyone's a Rebbe who teaches you even one thing. Amar Rava Kigon Rav Schora.
All those people come before your father.
Yes, I mean according to, I don't know if it's going in order or not. I guess it is, but according to the first opinion, only the person that taught you everything comes before your father. Even if somebody taught you a lot, it doesn't come before your father. And then we get to Rav Yossi, it's like even anybody basically comes before your father. Amrava, Kigon Rav Schora da Asperan. Like Rav Schora that explained to me. Zuama, I think we're going to a tangent, people that taught me things. Zuama Listeron. Some kind of big spoon.
It deals with a froth spoon.
A froth spoon. Okay. What did he teach him?
It says, Rava didn't know what type of utensil was denoted by the Mishnah's term.
Listron?
Zuma of Listron. And Rav Schora explained to him the term refers to a utensil that serves as a ladle to remove the froth from the pot.
So that's the one, even that one thing made Rav Schora his Rebbe. Shmuel Karamane Alei Hahumi Rabbanan Da Asperei. Echad Yor La'amas Hashechi Ve'echad Posech Kivan. Shmuel tore his clothing as if the person was his Rebbe from one person who just explained to him a Mishnah in Tamid, who explained how they would open up the Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash. Relevant to last week's Parsha, the person that did Shumas HaDeshen would go in with the person who's cleaning out the menorah, but they would go into different entrances, I think is what it's saying. One is the Emes HaShechi, and one is Pasech Kivan. Okay, some kind of lock. Amar Ula, Talmid HaChacham Shebabel, Omdim Zem Bibnei Zeh, V'Karin Zeh Al Zeh. Ula says, the Talmid HaChacham in Babel, they would stand with sort of like a mutual respect for each other, as if they were all students of the other, and they would all tear their clothing for the other. Okay, so this sounds like you're passing more like Rabbi Yehuda, who says Rov Chachmas Vimenu. They would treat each other with respect in terms of kriya. When any of them died, they all tore kriya. But in terms of the precedence of a father, the precedence of the Rebbe before the father, so they would only give the Rebbe precedence for the Hashavas Aveda if the Rebbe was the Rebbe Muvak, his main Rebbe, which is like Rebbe Yehuda, that's only Rov Chachmasa. Okay, Kabay Minei Rav Chisda Merav Huna Tzamin V'Tzarech L'Rabo. Talmud v'tzarech lo rabo mai. What does that mean? A student who's learning by his Rebbe, but needs his Rebbe? V'tzarech lo. I think the Rebbe needs the student. Maybe.
Amar lechista chista lo tzrich nalach. This is a student whom his teacher needs.
Right. I know why it says like that, but that's what it means. I think somehow it
speaks of a student who studied under other teachers as well, and therefore his teacher needs him to relate what he's learned from them.
Okay. I think basically one way or another what it means is that the student is teaching the Rebbe. And now the Rebbe, does the Rebbe look at the student like a Rebbe? So I'm like, I don't need your explanations. Oh, I think he saw this as a message. Rav Chista says to Rav Huna, hey, Rav Huna, how do you look at a student who the Rebbe learns from him? I think Rav Chista was trying to give the hint to Rav Huna, hey, you need me more than I need you, right? Rav Huna says back, lo tzriach malach, don't worry about it, I don't need you. Atzriach asli, you need me. Ad arba in shanin, until 40 years old, ikap de ahadade. Oh, the Gemara is now saying this generally. Hold on. You needed me until you were 40 years old? Yeah, it was only after 40 years old that you think you're my Rebbe now. That you can, either you fully learned from me or something. So they were always machbet on each other. Not really sure what that means. They would be upset at each other.
Yeah, after this incident, they bore resentment toward
one another. Oh, gosh. Yes, Rebbe Chista, Arban Chanisa. Mishum dechalosh da'atei d'Rav Huna. Rav Chista sat in 40 fasts because he upset Rav Huna. Yes, Rav Huna abrayim ta'anis mishum dechash d'Rav Chista. And then Rav Huna sat 40 fasts because he felt bad that he mistakenly suspected Rav Chista of having such an implicit insinuation. Itzmar Rav Chista, Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan, Alach Rav Yehuda, we pass on Rav Yehuda, it's Rav Chachmaso, is your Rebbe Mufak. Rav Acha Bar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Sheshes, Alach Rav Yossi, that even one little thing makes you a Rebbe. Me, Amar Rav Yochanan, Alach Rav Yochanan, really say that, that it's the pass on Rav Yehuda. Amar Rav Yochanan, Alach Kastam Mishnah, we pass on Kastam Mishnah, the unattributed Mishnah, who is not in the Mishnah, says, Rav Shalim Do Chachma, my Chachma, Rav Chachmaso says, yeah, that's the same thing. We pass on Rav Yehuda, because Rav Shalim Do Chachma, he's interpreting, could be interpreted as saying Rav Chachmaso. Okay, Tan Rabbanan Ha'oskin B'mikra Mida V'in Mida. Someone who learned Psukim, Tanakh, Mida V'in Mida. Not so good.
It says accomplish a measure, but it's not a large measure.
Yeah. B'mishna Mida V'not L'Sachar. When it comes to Mishnah, which I interpret to be sort of the Stam Halacha, so then he learned it well, and he got most of his schar, meaning more than what he did for Tanakh. Gemara, Ein Lecha Mida Gedola Mizu, but for Gemara, he was a really good student. So for that type of person, Ul Olam Havei Ratz La Mishnah, Yosef Mina Gemara. What are we even talking about? Oh, this is saying what you should do. Hauskin b'mikra mida meyudu mida b'mishna mida v'notan l'aslachar gemara ein lecha mida gedol mizu u'lo'olim haver asked the mishna yosu min ha-gemara. It's right, so the gemara is going to ask this question, but it says gemara you should be most in depth in, but then it says the mishna you should be most ambitious to learn more. So the gemara says ha-guv ha-gasha amar b'gemara she'en lecha mida gedol mizu v'hadar amar lo'olim haver asked the mishna yosu min ha-gemara. Which one's more important, mishna or gemara? Do you have to learn the Shulchan Aruch, or do you have to learn in depth of Gemara, which one? So says the Gemara, B'yimei Rebbe Nishnei Shemishnei Zil. In the times of Rebbe, that's when they learned this Mishnah. And therefore what? Okay.
It says in his time it was more important to study Talmud than Mishnah.
In the times of Rebbe, they really needed to understand halacha better, meaning the background of it, because Rebbe was the one that was trying, was struggling. That's why he almost ultimately wrote down the Mishnah. So Shavgu Kula Alma Masnisen, everybody left the Mishnayos of Azlu Basar Gemara. So they all sort of delved into Gemara to understand it better. And then Rebbe was worried that if nobody's going to learn Mishnah, so then you're going to forget everything again. So Hadar Darish Lehul Olam Havirath Mishnah Yosem Enugar. Okay, so the Mishnah goes in chronological steps, I guess. Technically, the original decree was to learn Gemara, Gemara, Gemara. Then everyone started learning too much Gemara. They were going to forget the Mishnah, which is why Rebbe wrote down the Mishnahs. So therefore he said, and continue to learn Mishnah. Yeah, okay. There's a similar, whatever, there's another version of this. My Darish, what was the drasha that Rebbe originally said you should learn with Gemara? Kedidarish Rebbe Yehuda Rebbe Yila, imaydech siv. Hagelami pisham ulves Yaakov chatosam. Hagelami pisham elos hamidach chacham shishkagos. Those are the hamidach chacham that were making, you know, unwitting mistakes because they didn't understand what they were doing. So nasalahem gizdonos. It's going to be considered like purposeful mistakes because they should have learned better. Ulves Yaakov chatosam elo ameharet shizdonos nasalahem kishkagos. Those are the amaratzim. The non-Tamil Chachamim, that when they do something on purpose, it's like unwitting mistakes because they never were able to learn it. Hanidithnan Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Havizar B'Talmud, Sheshigas Talmud Olazado. Be very careful about understanding the Mishnayos. Because if you don't understand them, it will be considered like a mazid, like a purposeful sin. Because the purpose being that if you're in a place where you could learn, so then you're going to be held accountable to learn. Darish Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yilai Imai Dechsev Shimu Dvar Hashem. You should listen to the words of Hashem. Hacharedim al Dvarau Eil Tamid Chachamim. That's the next words. Those who are tremble at his words. So it's Tamid Chachamim. Amrucha Achichem. This is the next part of the pasuk. Eilu Bali Mikra. Those who learn Tanakh. Sonechem Eilu Bali Mishnah. Your brothers refers to the people that know Psukim. Son Eichem refers to the people that hate you. I don't know what that means. They hate the Talmid Chachamim. I guess the Talmid Chachamim learning Gemara are always one-upping or upstaging the people learning Mishnah, because they'll say the Mishnah and the Gemara people will explain it better. I don't know. Menad Eichem, which I think usually means the ones that were excommunicated, Elu Ame Haaretz. Shema Torah Pasuk Savram Ubatal Sikuyam. They say it comes from Nida, I guess. They're like disgusting, maybe. That they won't be happy.
And won't be partners in the joy that will accompany Mashiach's coming.
Okay, because they won't know anything. Tamar lomar v'nira b'simchaschem. It doesn't say v'er'eh, but it says v'nira'eh, that it was already seen. That all Jews, no matter how much you learn, Shema Tomar Yisrael, that they'll all be joyful. We will all see their joy. Shema Tomar Yisrael Yevoshu. Maybe they'll be embarrassed. Am lomar vehem yevoshu, over the kochav yevoshu v'Yisrael yismachu. Okay, la'asid lavo. I think I'll add. You know, I'll end this on my own personal interpretation of what's going on. But maybe what it means is, whenever a person's able to learn, they'll be able to enjoy la'asid lavo. Each person at their own level. If you're able to learn more Gemara, if you're able to learn more Mishnah, able to learn more Tanakh. Or even if you're an Am Aretz, I assume that means you have to do something redeemable, but even if you're an Am Aretz, you will have Simcha L'Asid Lavo. Okay? Hazer Lach El Metzias. We will return to you El Metzias, which is an ironic way of saying that we finish El Metzias because it's all about Hashavas Veda. So we will return to you El Metzias. Very good. It's just the words, that's what the words are saying. It's not my joke. Okay, says the Mishnah. Hamafkid Eitzel Chaver. Okay, so the first parak was all talking about, you're jostling over the property that's in your hand. Second Mishnah was talking about you found somebody else's property somewhere else, Hashavas Aveda. Now the third Mishnah is talking about someone else gave you their property. All right, so we're just keeping different forms of ownership or property rights here. Says Mishnah, if you gave a friend your animal or vessels, and then v'nignivu osha'avdu, and then they were stolen or they were lost. So then, shilem v'lo ratzu lishava. You could pay v'lo ratzu lishava. What does it mean, below Ratzali Sheva? He doesn't want to swear?
No, and the Shomer paid for the lost or stolen items, but he didn't want to swear.
Oh, this is just setting up the state. Okay. Shilim Ratzali Sheva, Shari Amru Shomer Chinam Nishba V'yotze. Because they said he had the opportunity to, because the Shomer Chinam, we haven't said anything about him being paid for watching this stuff. So Shomer Chinam Nishba V'yotze, he could swear and get off scot-free. Nimtza Haganav, however, if the thief was found, so the Mishlameh, Mishalim, Tashlum, Kefel, the thief has to pay double. Tavachu Malchar, if he shechted it or sold it, so then Mishalim, Tashlum, Arba, Mecharisha, gets a punitive restitution. I guess that's contradictory, but it's you have to pay back four or five times. Lemi Mishalim, who do you pay? Lemisha pikadon etzlo, to the one who's guarding the item. Oh, because this is continuation. The guy who guarded it was already paid back the owner. That's kind of a good deal. This is where David logic would kick in. So now, if you're ever a shomer, you should always have somebody steal your stuff.
I would say you're almost. Well, the problem is
you can't plan that.
Well, then not only that. Who would voluntarily be the person to steal, because they'd right. be the one who'd be paying.
Right. I guess you would egg people on. You'd sort of like put the shiny watch in the window or something. And
I think you would call it, in the risk world, it's a moral hazard, right? In other words,
to not guard it properly?
It's a moral hazard because you're almost motivated to let someone. In other words, you're not intentionally letting it happen.
Right, but you're certainly not stopping anybody.
You are not as motivated to take the necessary steps to protect the item.
Yeah, right. So it is interesting because he just pays back the item itself. That's what it sounds like. And then he gets paid four or five. So Nishba v'loretz l'shalim. If he makes the swear and he doesn't pay, and then into Maganov, and then the thief is found, Mishalim Tashlume Kefel. Then the Ganov pays double, which is what we said already. Tavachumach Mishalim Tashlume Arba Chamisha, Lumi Mishalim Val Pekadon. So then you pay the four and five to, what? Val Pekadon. I think Val Pekadon means the original. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because Balabikano is the original owner. Swore, so he didn't have to pay.
Right. I got my terms mixed up.
Yeah.
Lemi Shapikaron Etzlo is the shomer. And Lemi Mishalim Labalabikaron. The question is, why do we need the second part? Wasn't that obvious? Right? The only reason why you would pay the shomer is because he already paid. So now we're saying if he didn't pay, so it doesn't go to the shomer, it would go to the owner. I don't know why we have to say that explicitly, but I guess maybe he swore, maybe he earned some rights there, you would think. Maybe he still gets the money. No, he still goes back to the original owner.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe there's an in-between case. The Gemara is going to say, wait a second. You implied one way this way, you implied one way the other way. Let's see. Says Gemara, Lam Leila Misni Behema, Lam Leila Misni Kelim. Why do we need to say both cases of an animal that was given as a security? I don't know if it's a security, but given for protection, and a kli, which is given as protection, says Gemara Tzrichi, di tana behema, if it only would have said an animal, hava mina behema hu demakni le kvela. That's the only one that you get, you earn double. Mishum de nafesh tircha la ayula abuka. Then you would get double because there's extra effort involved. Yeah, maybe you'd get the extra reimbursement money because you had to work harder for the animal. But a vessel was just sitting there. You don't really have to do much. So maybe he doesn't get the rights to the double or the four or five times. That's why it has to say kelim. If it only said kelim, and you would make a kavachomer to behema. Have a kelim who dekamaknile kvela mishum dlo nafish kiflayu, because a kli is not that, it's not worth that much. Or no, because a kli, you only have to pay double. Aval behema, which could be dechitelach umachar misham deshlumi arba chamisha imlo maknile kvela. Maybe because the animal comes along with this higher price tag if it was shechted or sold. So then maybe that's too much, you know, that's too much restitution or too much reward for the shomer. I always thought that the kli also, if you destroyed that would be the same as four and five, but I guess I'm wrong. Therefore, tzricha, that's why I need to say both. Maskev la rami bar chama v'ha ein adam makne davar shelo bo l'olam. What? Why is that a maskif? Our Mishnah says that you have to give back the item. Okay, let's keep reading. Even according to Rabbi Meir, that says you can bequeath the ownership of something in the future, which hasn't yet, it's not existent. Kigon peros dekel, that's specifically like the fruit of a palm tree. Davide dasu. Those are automatically, or obviously, definitely, without any question, going to come into the world. Rabbi Meir says, because of that inevitability of fruit, that's when he says you can be machne devashalo balolam, because fruit are going to grow. Aval hacha, in this case, oh, I see what's happening. The owner is giving the shomer specific items, and by doing so, he's bequeathing to him the opportunity, if he pays him back for when it's lost, he's giving over the rights to collect more money than what he's taking in. Miyemar diminagva, dimiganva. Who's to say that it's inevitable he's going to get that money? Vimtim saloma dimiganva. And if you're going to say that it is stolen, maybe he's going to confess and he's going to be putter from it. And therefore, I guess the way that we said it before can't work, because we can't claim that the owner is effectively, at the time of the deposit, when he's giving him the item, you can't claim that he's also giving him over the rights to collect any future larger sum, because that larger sum is not necessarily going to happen. So the Gemara says, Amarava, Nasa ke'omer lo, it's as if he said, L'cheshe tiganev v'sirtze usa shalmeni, when it is stolen, if it is stolen, if it will come to a time where it's stolen and you want to pay me, hare parasi kenu alach me'achshav. So then I'm going to consider it as if, at that point, it retroactively is considered like yours from now. All right, I guess that's a lawyer speak to get around the issue of davar shelo bo l'olam. Maskif la Rabbi Zeira, ihach, if that's the case, afil gizo seha uvlado sanami. Maybe he should also get the shearings and the fetus. So Allah matana, but then why would it say in a braisa, chutz mi gizo seha uvlado sanami, that he doesn't get that? He only gets the kefel or the arba v'chamishi. He does not get the wool and the fetus. Ela amar Rabbi Zeira, nasa komer lo chutz migzusa v'lozeh. Yeah, it's as if he says that it's to the exclusion of the wool and the fetus. So my paska. So how can we say that? How can we say that that's the intention when he gives it over to the shomer? Stoma de mosa, generally we assume that that any general improvements that come from the outside and not from the animal itself a person will bequeath, will give over, give the rights to. Because it comes from the thing that you're giving over. But shivchat, sorry, so that comes from, it comes from outside, so you have to sort of bequeath it. But shivchat migufa lo av inish demakni. But something from the animal itself, it's not something you can give over. I don't know what that's saying. That it's automatically given to him, or and it's chut, it can't say, it can't exclude something that comes from the animal itself. Why is that's a different way of saying it. I guess we didn't answer that question. So close to when it's stolen, it's considered yours. My be now you can be now kushed Rabbi Zeira. The question of Rabbi Zeira doesn't apply because the behemoth doesn't belong to the shomer retroactively all the way back to when he got it, which is when it had started developing its wool and it started having a fetus, but rather it's right before the theft, and because it's right before the theft, so then he only took hold, only took ownership of it when the wool was already grown and when a fetus was already developed, in which case Then the owner can say, I'm giving you it at that point without any of the other naturally grown items that come with the animal. He can exclude it because it's not a davar shelo bo'al olam at that point. Inami dekaima ba'agam, or if it's in a swamp. And therefore, he doesn't have it in his possession. And then not in anyone's possession.
Yeah. It's in a marsh and not in the shomer's property.
Yeah, and I guess therefore he couldn't even get it in the first place. Yeah. All right. I get that in the first place. He couldn't get it right before the theft. He could get it in the first place retroactively.